We're live.
I used to sell candy to kids at school and in my apartment's parking lot. I'd reinvest my profits in order to expand my product line and eventually saved enough cash to buy a sweet bicycle. Some years later, I sold that bike to a neighbor kid and managed to get rid of the family dog in the process. Fast forward a few more years and I was a fresh college grad selling animated banner ads and websites made with Frontpage. Now, well over a decade later, I'm 4 DBAs, several careers, a couple of failed businesses, one good husband, and a lot of learnings into this thing called life. I'm Carrie Dills, and this is the Dragcast.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite SanTan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
That's right. We are back, episode number 63. I'm the Rad and Drad. We also have the Doctor coming all the way from California. Dre, what's up?
Oh, man, gas prices, my cholesterol, all sorts of bad stuff. I think we talked about it with the host earlier, I did at least, and it sucks, man. Taxes are terrible. But everything else is pretty good. How are you doing, big guy?
Way to kick us off on a high note. Thank you.
Well, life sucks.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't be drinking tonight. Maybe I should go get some water.
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm excited. We got a really, really great guest on tonight. We got a lot of fun topics, and we're rolling right ahead. So with that, let's go and introduce our guest. I'm really excited to have the Genesis Phenom herself, Carrie Dills. Carrie, how you doing?
Hello. Doing all right. How are you?
I'm great. I'm doing real good. I'm very excited about this episode. I know we were talking a little pre-show, and you and I haven't had the pleasure of throwing a few cold ones back yet, but I think we're going to fix that very soon at WordCamp San Francisco.
It's going to happen.
It will happen, and we will make sure that happens. But I've only heard great things. I know, Dre, you guys have hung out quite a few times. I heard some awesome things about Beach Press, which you attended, and we can probably get into a little bit if we have time. But we got plenty to talk on. Before we get into that, I need to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Oh, yeah. Man, that makes me
thirsty. I know there were concerns, Carrie, because you said you watched a few of the last episodes, a few of the archives, and maybe we weren't sipping on as much as we probably should have been. We've been slipping, and you called us out, which we're thankful. So I think we're going to fix that tonight. I think we're going to get back into action. So let's start with you, Carrie, and we'll go from there. What are you sipping on over there?
Well, just in case we were going the sober route tonight, I've got a nice ice-cold glass of local water. And in the case that we're going a little more adult side, I've got some Deep Ellum IPA. It is a local Dallas IPA. And cheers to you guys.
Salud, salud. So craft beer and craft water, both local. Yeah, that's just delicious.
It's all about the locally sourced.
That's it. Support your local firms, folks. Tip your waitresses. Just saying. Hey, Bradford, what are you sipping on, big guy?
Oh, man, I have a big glass of water. No, I'm just kidding. If anyone asks, it's water. No, I got a little orange vodka, a little club soda. Pretty light. Actually, wish I had something darker, but I don't. So this will do nicely.
So
trying to think you have something a little darker, which I wish I had, but I don't. What do you got over there?
Is that blend you got there more vodka or more club soda? Because it's hard to really tell without color there. What's going on?
It's actually no club soda. It's actually I'm just trying to make myself sound better.
Now, if you want to be a champ, put a straw in, big guy, and rock and roll. If you want to be a real champ's champ, put the straw on your nose and see what happens then. Hey. I'm going to sip on some Maker's Mark. That's actually 2 weeks in a row where I'm rocking a little 46 here. You got to love it. I do it on ice. I said doo-doo, but I am drinking 46, so that kind of wins over everything. We're good.
I think you both win. Cheers, guys, to a great show and to WordPress, I guess.
Salud, salud.
So let's dive right in. We got all sorts of great topics, and I'm really excited to learn about you, Carrie, and hear a little bit about your history. And that's, I think, one of the best parts about the show is because we're going to have We could have people on that we know of, in the community. Maybe some people we're close friends with. Maybe some people we don't know as well. But the nice thing is we get to kind of dive into your history and learn a lot about you. And it's always very, very interesting. And we always learn a few things we didn't know. So we like to kind of start way back to when you first, you're obviously very successful now. You're doing some really cool stuff. You got into computers. Like, when did you first, when did computers first start appealing to you? And maybe more specifically, the web. When did you really kind of get into the web and think, there's something to this. I might want to dive in a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. So my dad, he was a computer scientist before that was something that that people knew about. So even back as early as 1980, which I might date myself just a little bit, we had a computer in the home. And it was one of those big things that could have like doubled as a doorstop. But anyways, I was playing with computers, back in the floppy when disks were actually floppy, back from that age, and just always been around them. And then I guess it was probably maybe the late 80s, as soon as dial-up was available in the house and you could do things like log on to Prodigy, started getting online.
Nice. Playing, Prodigy. I don't think I heard that one yet.
Oh man, it's.
I remember Prodigy, but that was like the, I think the nerdier version of like CompuServe and like the old school AOL. Like, wasn't Prodigy kind of like the? It was fun. There just weren't as many people on it, if I remember right.
Oh yeah, it was pretty much full on nerd, and we were a family of four, and we only had one telephone line. So whenever you were dialing in to Prodigy to play a game or chat with somebody or whatnot, there were like that modem connection, and my mom would pick up the phone line. I'm like, I'm on the phone.
Hang it up.
Drop it. Yeah. But yeah, been around computers for a long, long time, and just natural draw.
The day of AOL marketing coasters, or as we knew them, CD-ROMs, right? It was amazing.
Oh, that was such a fun time, because I feel like nobody really knew what they were doing. Nobody did. Even the professionals had no idea. So everybody was just kind of, it really was like the Wild West. We're just kind of figuring this out on our own. I have a good friend who worked at MLB back when they launched their first website. He said it was like five devs sitting around the table. Nobody told them. They were just like, make us a website and get it out there. Nobody directed them what to do or how to do it. They were just like, all right, let's figure this out, and just threw up some stuff online, and here's MLB.com. It's like, what? It just blows my mind. That's how people were launching sites back in the mid to late 90s.
Oh, yeah. Like, if Frisbee Golf had been popular back then, you could have taken all those free AOL CDs and just, scoring goals like nobody.
You can actually get furniture made out of them online still to date. That's right. Yeah.
Come back, watch. Like 20 years, they'll be like, they'll be a collector's item. People are going after trying to buy them. So that's pretty cool. To kind of hear how you're getting online early on, especially. I certainly understand the fighting for the internet connection. I think we all have a soft spot in our heart for that one. So you're online. You're kind of playing around online. When did you kind of get into the idea of actually putting sites together? I mean, were you getting into HTML early on? Did that come kind of later? Later in your internet years, or when did you kind of start dabbling in that?
It was pretty early on. So I was in college in the mid 90s, like before, like just to give you a hint of, it doesn't seem, or at least to me, it doesn't sound like that long ago. But at one point, my dad, he sent me an email via CompuServe. The post office printed it out and delivered it via hard mail to my college mailbox, and it was like, does this work? Testing, love dad. So, even in the mid 90s, that concept, the email was, there was Banya mail and V-mail and that kind of stuff. And within larger organizations, but, just in an individual level, it wasn't quite there yet. But anyway, so getting into it then, sort of in my mid college years, and then I took a front page class my junior year of college, and front page, it's terrible, terrible. But back then it was kind of fun to see, okay, I drag this table over here, and then you could go look at it and see what the HTML output was of that. So that was really kind of my first learning, and I took that, and eager beaver that I was, I built a website for my college major department, and that it's been pretty much downhill ever since.
So what was it? Angel Fire, GeoCities? Did you start with one of those services? That seems to be a recurring theme when we talk to people about publishing one of their first websites. It's like one of those services.
This was straight up front page, and then you could FTP the files via, what they call them, ISPs at that time, just your little local dial-up.
Yeah.
And then to whatever, I couldn't even tell you who the host was, but it wasn't anything even as fancy as GeoCities. It was even lower brow.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's pretty fun to hear the different experience people had early on and what they got into. So you're messing around with Front Page, which, I mean, I remember I was on Front Page early on, and it was kind of mind-blowing at the time. Like, you could actually see what the code was doing, you know, in the editor. You know, before you write or whatever. So it was pretty neat. I think a lot of people use things like Front Page. I used a program called PageMill back in the day. A lot of people have heard of on Mac, which is like the Front Page competitor way back in the day. Anyways, I'm going down memory lane. So let's talk about my... No, I'm just kidding. So you got your site out there. Back in my day, we used PageMill. So you launched a site for your department in your college. I mean, how did that feel? When it was actually live to the public and you could actually like type it up and show your friends or show, you know, your college classmates, you know, what was the feeling behind that? Is that what really kind of kicked off and said, this is it. This is what I want to do.
It was freaking amazing to me that you could literally click a button, move a file from your local computer, you know, via FTP up to a live server, and something that you published was available, anywhere on the whole WWWs. It was some crazy, no, like carriedills.com. It was like flash 25 dot this and that dot slash slash. I mean, these crazy URLs, but I could actually, you know, direct my mom to some website I had built or, share with my friends. It was just super cool. So, I mean, that's kind of addictive, the feeling that you could put something out there with. And at that time, nobody else could, I mean, or very few people were doing that, so it was a novelty.
Like a magician. How'd you do that? You own Yahoo? I don't understand. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. So let's fast forward, because I'm sure, you know, you had to, over the years, kind of learn your way through static HTML sites and start diving a little bit into maybe database-driven sites. When did you kind of get into the whole CMS, or maybe even... more specific, kind of the open source side of things? When did you start dabbling with different platforms outside of just custom coding all of your sites?
So my foray into open source, specifically WordPress, didn't happen until really the last few years. I mentioned my dad before, who was kind of my impetus in getting into the computer industry, and he was a exec with Compaq Computers, who was a Microsoft centric company. So my whole life I grew up around Microsoft software and used their technologies for web building. And then eventually, after hand building some really terrible CMSs for clients, found out about WordPress. And it didn't even matter at that time that it was open source to me. It just mattered that it was, oh my gosh, about 1 million times simpler than what I'd been doing. So that was the draw. And then once I got really kind of understood the open source movement and what that meant in terms of my ability to contribute and what the community was like, I haven't looked back. So yay, WordPress.
Yeah, it's interesting you said, and I don't think that's come up often in some of our interviews, that you were drawn to WordPress as a platform before you even really cared about open source. And although I think a lot of us, that was probably true, it just hadn't come up, because I think that was true for me. Like, what should I use for my blog? Oh, well, WordPress. Okay, cool. Like, I didn't care that it was GPL. I didn't care that it was open source. Just people told me to use WordPress, so I did. But same as you, then I kind of understood, all right, I started learning about open source and the ideals behind it, and really said, you know what, this is exactly how I am. I like to share. I like to give back. I've been doing this for years, but I never knew it was considered open source, you know? So it's kind of neat to hear you say that. So what version are we talking about here? We always like to put, and maybe just give us a year, see if we can guess. It's always fun to figure out what version people start on, roughly, approximately.
I'm thinking this was early 2011, so I think we were in the late twos, maybe already into the 3 points at that point.
I think we're having technical difficulties. Way to go, Champ.
Yeah, I don't know how to unmute myself. It's amazing.
Sometimes.
I can't control this thing.
That was awesome.
This is the most professional show you will ever be on. Enjoy it while you're
really
here.
I was trying hard to read your lips. I was like, is that 3.0?
I just said the most amazing thing I've ever said in my life, too, and I was on mute. It's terrible. So, so it was early 3.0, 3.x era, which is kind of a pivotal era for WordPress, specifically around 3.0. That's kind of what really opened the door to the CMS idea with custom post types and taxonomies and really kind of opened the floodgates, I think, as far as users and adoption and people really giving it a fair shake.
CMS, right? I think that was the stage that really, really foundationally set it into a CMS, or at least, the eyes of purists moved it away from that blogging platform that it was born into, right? No, we're just
right.
We're just running with it, you know. Damn.
So you're in WordPress. You build sites. You're building themes. I'm assuming you've probably started out maybe downloading some free themes, maybe getting into the code, tweaking them a little bit. And then at some point you discovered frameworks, and more specifically Genesis. And anybody that knows you knows that Genesis is your thing. That's what you do, and you're very good at it, and you're very well known for it. So maybe you can kind of talk about how you got into that, because I think my experience with working with frameworks and explaining frameworks and especially showing frameworks to front-end or back-end devs or anybody that's kind of building sites, there's an immediate the initial reaction is this is way more work than a normal thing. Like, why would I want to use a framework? This is way more work. So I always like to hear how people got into it, how they got past that and thinking it's more work when it's actually not.
Well, I probably got into it before I knew better than to know it was more work. But when I first started working with WordPress, you're right, I downloaded a bunch of free themes. I even, I paid for some various premium themes and just was kind of trying to experiment, see what was out there. And I remember very vividly, I had this background in code already. So I was, had a fair level of comfort dealing at the code level. So I'd get in, I'd customize a theme. And then that damn shiny blue update button in the dashboard.
And I
pushed it because who doesn't want to push a button? Yeah.
And what I guess I want to upgrade.
Yeah. My great dismay realized that all of my customizations were lost.
Oh.
And so that was the point where, and thankfully this was on my own site, not on a client site, but that's where I realized kind of the concept of a parent theme and a child theme, and then eventually a framework and a child theme, which really framework and parent theme are sort of interchangeable to me depending on what context you're talking about. But the idea of, you've got this base theme or framework that you don't touch, and then you've got this child theme that you can go in and totally pimp out, customize, do whatever you want to with. So that's kind of where I stumbled into Genesis. And, like you mentioned, Brad, there's definitely a learning curve. But at the point in time where I was hitting that Genesis learning curve, I didn't even realize it was a Genesis learning curve. It was just an entire WordPress learning curve for me. Sure. So the difference between, I remember very distinctly there being a time where I'm like, okay, well, what functions are specific to Genesis and just are part of WordPress core? And to me, it was all just sort of, it's like learning English. I was just kind of all in it together. So that distinction didn't really even come till, I'd been working in the framework a while. So my comfort level with that was sort of already established before I knew that should have been a difficulty maybe getting into. So at this point, it's just, you know, I always, and you can cut me off here if my answer goes on too long, but.
This is a damn good answer. Go, because I've got some questions after this. Yeah.
All right. You know, I love Genesis. I'm comfortable with Genesis. Genesis is solid code. It's well designed code, and it's what enables me to develop quickly projects for clients. I don't care that anyone else uses Genesis. To me, it doesn't matter what you use, but everybody should be developing on a framework, even if that framework is just a parent theme that you built. In other words, there's no need to start from 100% scratch every time, even if your base is underscores or foundation or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, start with that core bit of code and then build on top of it, whatever that core is that's comfortable for you.
So some people might not agree. I agree. I cut my teeth in terms of frameworks, in terms of parent-child themes with Genesis. I look back now because that was pre-security days, certainly pre-web dev days for me, and it was one of the really changes and maybe maturation points in my WordPress involvement, my career, from regular themes and branding and all that fun stuff into really engaging in rapid development and putting myself in a position where I can be very successful. But was it because of Genesis? Was it because maybe timing Genesis became a thing? How did you fall upon Genesis? I mean, how did that become like the staple where you wanted to break into frameworks and such? Because I'm not sure I can answer the question for me. It's been so long now. How does that work?
I honestly don't know I don't want to throw other things out there under the bus, but...
Oh, I will. Thesis.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Elegant themes is one of the first one that comes to mind. You know, I bought all, you know, a variation of, you know, all these themes from these framework houses or, you know, theme houses, whatever.
Sure.
And they each had their own separate, I'm not even talking about code. I'm just talking about the WordPress dashboard.
That's what your client's going to see, right? That's what they're going to deal with, right?
Yeah,
but there was this whole new thing to deal with. And I think when I found Genesis, it just looked the most like WordPress to me. It was one extra tab, and it wasn't like this ridiculous settings panel.
It was pretty clear cut. I mean,
more intuitive. And then also probably and I'm a little bit winging it because I honestly should have journaled, dear diary,
right?
Today I discovered Genesis. But part of it was the
not Carrie Dills.
The documentation and community around it. So if you Google, you know, how do I do this with Genesis? Like, there's a plethora of articles
Right?
And that speaks to the community of just Genesis, right? It's very similar, like to searching how do I do this in WordPress, and that's a lot of people like WordPress because there's so much information.
Well,
Genesis has its own community, which you're a big part of. That helps pump out amazing content like that, which I think would really help the growth.
Even in those days, like if you engaged there and you were like, wow, this is really working, and you were trying to learn and trying to empower people to use it as a framework, like everybody involved with it would get engaged with you. I mean, all the way to the top, because Brian Gardner was certainly very open and very communicative. I mean, he was involved socially with everybody that was talking Genesis and wanting to learn. I think that's certainly helped drive its success and its footprint. I still don't know how the hell I got involved with it, but I'm glad I did because I think it's been a big – I mean, that was a huge milestone in my career, I think, and my involvement with themes and that whole piece. So, yeah, I think certainly it really drives home the point about community. It was built, obviously, in open source and WordPress, which is a widely community-driven world, if you will, because it's more than just a platform, it's more than just software. But I think Genesis kind of took that same mantra from the early stages to become what it is today.
All right. I need you to ponder your initial involvement, and then you're going to come on my podcast and talk about it.
That's done. That's all a wrap. Awesome. Hey, sorry, Brad. suck
it. I mean, it's cool. I'm just over here hanging out. You guys go do your own podcast. It's all right.
Hey, will you come, will you come play the sound effects for us?
You know what? No. I will not. You guys can play your own sound effects.
So
it'll be nearly as good as mine.
So let's talk about your how or where is Genesis for you now compared to where it was when you started, right? Like, what has changed in that community? What has changed in terms of the platform and the way that that community kind of works together? Is it something that still makes sense for you? I mean, I'm guessing yes, but what does it mean to you now in terms of your business and your involvement with WordPress?
That's an interesting question. I love the community. I will continue to develop for and be involved in that community. It's just like we've already talked about, a really great group of people, and I like dealing with the code. I got the chance to do a couple of the .com courses for Genesis earlier this year, and so I think I'll continue in that vein. Copyblogger, the parent company behind Genesis, is they've broadened their focus onto really their whole deal is content marketing and then providing products that empower people to produce content, whether that's somebody who doesn't know any code all the way down to people who love to code, people like myself.
Sure.
I can't speak for the company or where it's going in the future. For myself, it's very important to me that my skill set is not, even though I kind of brand myself as a Genesis developer and very entrenched in that framework, it's important to me that I keep a broad enough skill set that I'm versatile outside of Genesis as well.
Seems to be doing very well, because there's a handful of really Genesis professionals, and Dre and I are good friends with many of them, that are booked like
forever,
like a ridiculous amount. Like, I mean, they just have zero room for any other projects, and they're getting paid good money. And I mean, it's just like they're doing very, and I'm sure based on everything I know about you, it seems to be that's true as well. So I think obviously Genesis is as popular as it's ever been. It's running on hundreds of thousands of sites, if not millions by now. I think it's a great place to be. It seems to be, I mean, it's kind of won the framework war, I put that in quotes, but there was a bit of a framework war, right, early on. And
now,
obviously won early on.
I discovered.
But it has won, right? Like, in my opinion, it has won. Like, as far as frameworks, I can't think of another one that's on the level of Genesis that has the security that Genesis has, the number of sites running, the number of tutorials, like, just all around. So I think, personally, that you position yourself very well, and you're in a really good spot being, kind of the Genesis professional that people know to be.
Listen, if it wasn't for the decisions we made around going full-time with security and building that, because it was a side hobby while I was running Cubic 2, which was pretty much a Genesis shop, I would likely be very, very much entrenched with Genesis today, because that's really where we were driving the business, Cubic 2 at the time. Mm-hmm. I think it's certainly not going to go away anytime soon. There's still a huge market in behind it and into the future. I do question some of the maybe underlying decisions of the organization that runs or is a big part of Genesis and Studio Press today. When you think about things like Rainmaker, where does that influence or impact Genesis and its followership? I mean, it's certainly a different product. But there is probably a market, I would argue, or a segment of the market within Studio Press's audience that will probably push off into Rainmaker. What does that mean? I mean,
and maybe
if you don't want to, but I mean, do you have any discussion or thought behind that?
And for the listeners, maybe they don't know what Rainmaker is, maybe just give a real high level overview of what Rainmaker actually is.
Sure. So Rainmaker is a pretty newly launched platform from Copyblogger. And when I say platform, it's actually built on top of the Genesis framework, but it's a completely hosted solution. So, it's a once a month fee that it's a software as a service. It includes your hosting, and then includes this really highly customized WordPress dashboard that doesn't even quite look like WordPress. It's a lot fancier. It has some custom post types built in for membership, for forums, you know, powered by BB Press, and product sales, and it's just kind of this all-in-one package for people. But you can't touch code. Like, there's no appearance editor. There's no SFTPing into the server. It's really a hands-off. It's intended for people who want to produce content but don't want to worry about the technical side of things. So that's kind of high-level Rainmaker. Dre, to your question, I do have some highly opinionated thoughts.
we're not afraid. We're not afraid.
Here's the deal. So you can lump yourself into whatever category you want to lump yourself. You're either wanting to pursue a technology to whatever, you know, learn, and then produce or whatever. And to me, my bent has always been towards finding out who is my audience and what can I possibly provide for them? What value can I provide for them? So when I look at something like Rainmaker, that takes away the need for a quote-unquote developer services, but I'm a lot more than just a developer. There's that, you know, as simple as it may be, somebody still has to set it up or consult with
a client. You're kidding me, of course. Absolutely, yeah.
So all those kind of comprehensive pieces of the puzzle, for anybody who wants to pursue that space, there is a customer base there. So I don't know exactly what that's going to look like for me. Maybe some custom theme offerings within Rainmaker, or maybe some, I really don't know yet. Sure. But I know there's an audience there that shouldn't be written off. They need people to serve them. If that's a way that I can marry my skill set with their needs, then you can bet I'm going to be the first to, or at least the third to jump on that train.
It's so new, too.
You're in my top five.
And it's so new, so the future really isn't written for Rainmaker, right? Because it literally just launched within a month or two ago, so it's public, right? So it's pretty, it's a new platform.
What I like about that whole setup, I mean, at least for Copyblogger and, you know, the Studio Press folks and that whole piece, I mean, it's certainly going to influence change in the way that we're servicing people. It's a different demographic audience, but that's not an audience that should be lost. I complete with you, Kerry, 100%. There is value in that, and there are opportunities. The only opportunities that don't exist are the ones that we leave on the table and all that fun stuff, right? Like, we can make something out of that. What I think is really cool from a business perspective, if I sit back and think of this holistically, is that it really influences a bit of change, not just in the provider space, but also influences change around the theme market because of the way that's set up there. It's going to be very limited, kind of like what they've done on WordPress.com. But at the same time, it also touches the hosting space, right? And like that managed piece. So they're really hitting something that kind of not just targets hosting or the theme space or providers, but kind of all of that. So a very interesting model that they've built there, and I think it may have some wheels. So if it's not going to go away and it's going to grow in terms of sponsorship, in terms of audience, why not see where the opportunities lie for you and grow with it, right? That's what everybody did with Genesis and what we've done with WordPress as a whole. So. Good stuff.
Absolutely. As my grandma used to say, make hay while the sun shines. So wherever the sun shines.
And what I like about that all is that we get to talk about it and you get to talk about it. And I want to learn more about what you're talking about. I think you said something. How many weeks in a row have you done your podcast now? Let's talk about your podcast a bit. What is your podcast? What's it focus on? Who's on it? And why haven't I been on it yet?
For me, why you keep forgetting about me?
First of all, I need a sound engineer and someone who can really cue up the perfect sound effect. So, Brad, I'm hoping that's where you can come into play.
I'm Drew Armada.
That's me. That's definitely me. It may not be an appropriate sound, but I'll cue it up.
that was a good Texas sound right there.
My six shooter.
Dre, your invite's in the mail. All you got to do is check it. And then as far as the podcast, it's called Genesis Office Hours. It's a weekly podcast. I intended it. It was based off of an awesome fellow named Daniel Espinoza, and he has a weekly podcast called WooCommerce Office Hours.
Awesome.
Kind of open up the doors. You got questions. Let's talk about them. Let's hash it out. And one of the things that's short history, the community has always been so good to me and so helpful to me in my early days that I'm a big believer in giving back information however you can. So the podcast for me started out as a way to just kind of say, okay, here's an hour every week, whatever questions you have about Genesis, I'm in, let's do this. It's actually kind of, I expected it to be technical in nature, and it's actually been more of freelancing, business, sort of that general consulting piece. So a lot of my guests, I've had, maybe a half dozen of the copy blogger team on, and love those interviews, and then just various developers and folks in the Genesis community. And I've started to branch out to, last week I had on desktop server guys.
Yeah, that's cool.
And love those guys. And I don't know, the future, I love doing the podcast. This is dropping news right here on the Dradcast.
Exclusive Dradcast.
Live on Dradcast. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm pondering just dropping the name to Office Hours, because while there is a fair amount of Genesis information discussed, really there's a lot of just great information that I'm getting from my guest on how to run a successful business. Sure. As a small consultancy.
I love this. I absolutely love this idea. I mean, obviously, I'm partial to podcasting, but I mean, what a great way to not only get some information out there, promote yourself and your services and your knowledge. I mean, this is right up our alley. And a lot of people come to us and say, "How can I get out there? How can people find me? How can I get noticed?" Well, Carrie's doing it. Look, exactly. She's getting on and just talking about taking questions. Get on there and ask her questions. She's bringing in people she knows to talk shop. Dude. She's doing it, and it's easy. 1 hour a week. You know, the prep time is probably not that much. A lot like this show. We get on here and just talk, talk WordPress. It's a lot of fun, and you're giving a lot back. So I think this is a brilliant idea.
I got to name drop a little bit here, because there's probably only three podcasts that I've seen that have this type of host or special guest name list here. I mean, you're talking Chris Limlis of the world. Rebecca Gill, she's great. I love her to death. I've gotten to spend some time with her at different work camps. Amazing. Mark over a desktop server. Ridiculous. Brian Gardner, like, come on. Matt Medeiros is a guy that I'll tell you right now. He's got some quality hosts too. I'm just saying. No one is kind of clear at the top of that peak like Dradcast, but you guys are right there with us. No, joking aside, I mean, this is exactly what we need. This is fabulous. I think that when you start to see successful podcasts like this come to light, it really gives a different direction to the content that we're seeing out there. Blog posts are awesome. I'm not much of a writer, but I can sit here and talk and ask some really cool questions to some really smart, experienced folks like yourself. And to hear you doing this, I mean, I think that this is highly influential to the folks out there that are thinking about doing things like this or getting involved or being on the podcast or starting their own.
You know, he's really excited when he keeps hitting his mic like that.
I'm like, what's up, yo? Dude, it's...
Okay, so my whole podcast model has been to troll your guest list and the Matt Report guest list, and then just invite them on. See what, and I offer them large amounts of money.
Here's the deal. You just earned yourself some Chinese food and some karaoke next week.
Give them a buck, and they'll be doing better than they did on this show.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, it's
so where does the where's the show go from here? I mean, it's obviously pretty damn successful. You got, I think, more episodes than us at this point.
Oh, no. I'm like 50% behind you guys on quantity.
Well, you still.
I'm only like 30 some odd episodes.
Yeah, but you're on episode. You said you've done 35 weeks straight.
Thirty-two weeks straight.
We have not done 32 weeks straight. So you keep not skipping, and you will catch us.
Okay, but this is episode 63. So you're still doubling up on me at this point.
63. Yeah. We're getting there. We've been pretty good this year, Dre. We're doing all right on our consistency. But definitely, if you have not seen the podcast, check it out. You can go to Carrie Dills. That's DILS.com. She has a link in the header. It's /podcast. She also has a lot of great tutorials and articles across the site anyway. So we definitely want to take a look at that. But Dre, man, that was awesome. That was a great interview. I think we could keep talking, but we probably need to move on because we do have a couple topics to touch
on.
Well,
yeah, we're running out of time, and I usually cue the time for the rest of the show, but I'm having a good time. So, with that, let's put the good time aside for a second, and not that this won't be any fun. But let's talk about this week's pressing topics.
Pressing
topics of the week.
It is a WordPress show, so one of the things we need to talk about are recent releases. We've got some cool discussion going on. Ian Stewart dropped some info yesterday about 2015. It's in trunk, folks. We've got a new theme coming up, and this is kind of awesome. Time to go check it out. It's over on the make.wordpress.org blog. And they've got some good discussion already kicking off with it. So if you get an opportunity to head over to make.wordpress.org and check out the new default theme. Have you guys checked it out at all?
What are the thoughts? Carrie, you like it?
I mean, I'm still back in 2012.
I got to be honest. Like, when the idea of coming out with a new theme every year was first introduced, I was like, that's an amazing idea. Of course, we're all on Kubrick at the time, right? So we're like, we'll take anything we can get.
Anything, literally.
It's kind of like, well, you know, like the one released 3 years ago. I'm just going to stick to that. And I really, you know, I don't know. I don't want to, like, say these aren't great, but I really feel like the ones done a couple years ago caught my eye, and these are just kind of a different variation of each one. I love the idea that there's a new one going in each year. Don't get me wrong. I don't know, though. I'm still on 2011. I still like 2011.
Well, listen, I'm using a very similar theme or style, and it happens to be Genesis, who would have thought, on my personal blog.
You're just saying that.
Well, go over to DreMeda.com, and you make your own decisions. I mean, and you're a grown-ass woman. I mean, you do what you want. I liked it, the direction that they went here. I was very very vocal about my just dislike of last year's theme. I didn't care for what they put out. I just didn't care for it. I, you know, creatively, I mean, certainly it had value. I just didn't think that it was something that people could or would actively use. And I would argue, if you look at the numbers, it's probably a safe bet if you listen to what I'm saying. This here, I think, will garner some usage.
It definitely is better than last year. I think the problem I have is with some of these themes is they look amazing when you configure them correctly, but 99.9% of the people that run them don't. They activate them, and they just start making posts. They don't configure header images. They don't configure background. They don't configure colors. They don't do any of that.
But that's not the theme's fault. I mean, you're going to run
into that. No, it's not the theme's fault, but if to make it look that beautiful, you have to configure it.
Dude, 2010, it's same shit. Like, we ran into the same problem with the old ones. I mean, come on, you can't.
But 2010, you didn't have to do it. If you set a featured image, made a post, it looked like you didn't have to configure stuff, you know, and each one there's just a little bit more you have to do. Like 2014, you could make it look pretty amazing. You could do some pretty cool stuff with it, but nobody is using that stuff. Nobody's doing it.
Well, it didn't look as good as this bottle of 46, I tell you that.
I think there needs to be a button in the dashboard of every WordPress site that just says, make this look exactly like the demo.
Like the demo, yes.
Yeah, it imports the XML file and all the images and configures all the widgets and shit, and then it's there, because that's the magic. Dude, people need to see that.
Podcast, we're going to write a plugin together that makes that shit happen.
I've said that on past shows, that every premium theme, because the premium themes always look amazing. They got all the featured images and widgets and content areas. And then if you download it or whatever and you activate it, it's nothing works. Everything's it's like, how do I get it to look like the demo? Like, start, and I'm an advanced user. Sometimes I'm having trouble figuring out how to configure things. So
okay, well, let's write
that. Start users like that. Yeah, exactly. When they activate the theme, say, do you want to install all the demo content?
And, all the demo
configure
content.
Everything like the demo site, yes. All right, that's it's everything. That would be awesome.
Oh, man. Awesome. Mind blown, drop the mic.
Honestly, if you're not an advanced user, but if you have a fully configured site, you can kind of put what you know two and two together. You can go on the admin side. Oh yeah, this is the widget that controls this. If I change it here and save it, I see a different something changes here. So it makes it much more visual for novice users to make those changes versus when there's nothing there and they're trying to figure out. All right, I got to add a widget to the sidebar and then add a title. Like they're not going to figure that out. So.
I wish
you're playing on the same page. I would love to see that.
I'm with you. We're going to make this shit happen. It's going to happen. Just like it's going to happen.
Let's do it.
Almost like this new crazy conference for developers, WordPress folks, coming in 2015. I think it's the most creative name I could have heard. I mean, it's called LoopConf. That's Loop, man. The Loop, baby. It's all about the Loop, right? are you guys signed up for any of the newsletter stuff going on here? Loop Conference is a new WordPress conference. It's only for developers. It's coming up, I think, in May of 2015. They've got a nasty, just a really, really sexy lineup of folks. From Helen, who led the last cycle for 4.0, the lead developer for WordPress. John O'Nolan, Saeed, which one of my favorite people in the world, all 12 years of him, because he's a kid still, the guy. Old Juice, he's coming. Andrew Nathan, another youngster.
I don't want to toot our own horn, but four out of the six announced speakers have hosted.
Wait a second. What was that? Wait, can you repeat that? I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
We've actually talked to John. We got to get him on and see if we can get Jen on too, so we can round it out. But looks pretty amazing. We've talked about these kind of niche conferences before, and how they're kind of Pressnomics kind of started it. We've seen a few others. Prestige just happened a few weeks back. Went really, really well. I love the trend that we're seeing here. I love seeing non-WordCamps with a focus on whatever, dev, business, whatever. Like, put a focus, get a more niche focus on the event. Do things a little differently. Get outside the foundation. Pay speakers if you want. Prestige paid speakers. That's amazing. They flew them out and paid for the hotel. I think that's insanely respectable that they did that, So, I actually just heard of this last night, and I'm already pretty excited about it.
So let me ask you about this. If we were to decide to start a new conference and it was just based on the 60 or so folks that have hosted Dradcast and we called it Drad Camp and we paid them to come out and it was exclusive to that, do you think that would be successful?
If we had a lot of alcohol, it'd be it'd be completely unsuccessful. I don't know.
Well, we are... we're looking for sponsors, so just let us know. No, I'm kidding. I think that this is the right direction. I mean, there's nothing like a WordCamp, but it's a very, very specific thing. It's very focused. It's very focused on teaching, rightfully so, an audience that needs to learn about WordPress, whether it's business there, whether it's the development, the design, the culture, the creativity that goes into the community. But it's not the business of WordPress. It's certainly not the development at the scale that we need it with the community that we have driving development in WordPress today. I'm interested to be at this. I mean, one, because obviously it's development heavy on the WordPress side, but it's in Vegas, number two. So that's kind of awesome. I think it's going to be a big deal, and I hope the best for it. It's got a great supporting cast. I'm looking forward to talking to the folks to put this together after it goes down. Now, what do you guys think is the future of something like this? Do we see this continuing to spawn into other type of conferences? Are we going to see other developer-specific conferences, business-specific conferences around WordPress? Or are these guys really carving the way and going to become the de facto standard?
Here's the deal. Like, those... having Just pulled off my first WordCamp DFW a couple of weekends ago. Like, it's no small deal to organize a conference of size.
That's true.
So to put on, you know, a quality weekend or whatever the dates are for your attendees, it needs to be profitable for the people that are putting that on too. So I don't know. I love that they're cropping up. I hope that they can figure out a model that's rewarding the organizers as well. I know that's not what WordCamp's about, but these other conferences, they're taking time away from their business to put these together. So I'm hoping that it can be a win-win all the way around.
I agree.
Same page. I mean, you're right. It's absolutely no small feat. All three of us have organized events, WordCamps specifically. It takes a lot of work, and even smaller WordCamps take a lot of work. They take so much more work than I think people realize.
Yeah, certainly.
Let alone these much bigger camps. So I love it. I love seeing quality speakers at an event. I love seeing events that give back. I love seeing events. I don't mind events that pay for speakers and fly them out. I don't mind them at all. You know, like, I think it's amazing. So. This is the new norm. I think this is only going to get more prevalent as the community grows and more of these events pop up and are very successful, which so far they have been.
Only time will tell, folks. And at this time, it's time to push on to this week's Bart Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Dad. Man, I think... Either I'm drunk or that made me feel drunk, but hey, we've got a couple tricks and then we're moving on to this week's events. Carrie, what do you got going on here for this week's bar trick?
Well, you know what? After I saw Steve Z on here, I thought I needed an actual bar trick.
Yeah. Which,
That requires more table space than I have in my desk station.
The spoons, man. I love the spoons.
But you guys told me it could just be a plug-in or cool tool. So absolutely. On that note... my bar trick for this week is Calendly, which is a way to schedule either calls or appointments. I use it for scheduling guests on my podcast. I use it to schedule introductory calls with clients. It's a great way of saying, hey, these are the time slots I want to make myself available. Here you choose from that. And then in conjunction with that is Zapier, which there's not a direct integration with Calendly yet, but the back door is Calendly creates a Google Calendar event, and Google Calendar integrates with Zapier. So I have it where Google Calendar, it triggers an event where Google Calendar comes in, schedule a podcast, it automatically creates a draft post with some content on my website to help automate some of those weekly podcast tasks for me.
I can dig it.
That might be the most relevant and useful tip that we could actually use, Dre.
Yeah, like right now, mine.
Our calendar's terrible. I don't know what. I'm definitely looking at
Calendly. Simple, beautiful scheduling with Calendly, and you push into a Google Calendar setup through Zapier. Is that about right?
The Calendly pushes directly into Google Calendar, and then I've got Zapier using Google Calendar to push into my WordPress install.
Man, I wish it was Tuesday so I can have tacos. completely irrelevant, but that's something that we're going to play with like tomorrow, Brad. Brad, what do you got going on over there, big guy?
I got a really cool website that was launched in the past few days called WP Tally. TALLY.com, and this was built by the team over at Easy Digital Downloads, our buddy Pippin and company. Really simple but cool. So you go in there, you go to the WPTally.com, type in your WordPress.org username, and it will actually give you all the stats on total plugin downloads, which is pretty neat. And also an average of rating across all of your plugins. So I knew roughly total downloads. I did not know an average of my ratings, because I have some old plugins that maybe have crappy ratings and some new ones that hopefully are doing better. But it's pretty neat. So I have over 800,000 downloads across all my 16 plugins and an average rating of 4.38 out of 5 stars. So I think I'm doing pretty good. Awesome. It's kind of fun. Just punch your name in there, punch other people's names in there, and they also have an API, which is cool. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot of sites take advantage of this, where they can, you know, a service or a site like our site, we say, hey, cumulatively, all of our, between all the plugins in our entire company, this is all of our downloads that we just hit the API. That's kind of cool to do. So I could see a lot of freelancers doing that, a lot of dev shops, you know, all sorts of stuff. So it's pretty neat. Check it out, wptally.com. It's all free. It's very straightforward, and it's a neat little service.
I love it, man. Those are shit. This has got to be two of the best damn bar tricks we've had on one show. Amazing. You know, I've done a lot of design and development CSS stuff. I'm a front end type of guy, and for years I used Firebug and Firefox. But really, using the browser or extending the browser in a way that it helps you save time as you're developing. I use other tools. I do use a GUI for that type of development stuff, although I've gotten a little bit more fond of just command line tools and terminal. But Chrome has become my browser of choice, and over time I've seen that the dev tools available in Chrome are pretty damn powerful. So a site that they came up here recently in one of the places that I hang out at on Facebook, which is the Orange County WordPress group. Who would have thought? My favorite place to be. Dev tools tips. It gives you a bunch of actually, it's posts with videos and walkthroughs on how to better utilize the dev tools built into Chrome. Man, they get into watching your events. So let's say if you got some JavaScript issues going on and watching how events are breaking down into silly stuff on selecting the source panels in the editor. It's just some really, really cool ways to utilize the code that's popping up in the development tools into your actual development processes and going back into your editors, your terminal, or what have you. It's just a really, really intuitive way or approach to teaching you how to use the tools built right into your browser. DevToolsTips.com. So go check it out if you get the chance.
Guys, like you said, the most informative bar tricks we've ever had. That was actually a very good round.
Dude,
and we're all drinking, so there must be some correlation to this.
Dude, I'm kind of hammered. That happened. I'd really quick today.
We're going to hour two. Let's go.
Yeah, really quick what's happening pretty soon, like actually in the next 2 days, is WordCamp Baltimore, which you're going to be there. You're going to be sitting on a freelancer panel. That's exciting. October 18th, and I think the 19th is the days. WordCamp San Francisco following that, the 23rd through the 25th. I think all three of us are going to be there. So we're gonna, dude. I'm telling you, we got to get some Chinese food. Just now, it's a thing, right? So we got to get Chinese food and a couple drinks. The summit is supposed to follow somewhere after that. I still haven't heard word on that. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, in fact, they're just announcing sponsors this week. I'm very confused by that. We'll find out more, I think, while we're there on the logic behind all of that. November 15th through the 16th, I've just signed up for WordCamp to run. I'm really excited for that. I may be sitting on a panel. I'm just throwing out that I might be talking about business. That's scary, really. WordCamp Las Vegas coming up December 13th through the 14th, and Pressonomics 3 coming up January 22nd through the 24th. So if you're not going, you suck. You should be there. They're all going to be awesome. Kerry, where can people find you? I mean, Twitter, Facebook, kerrydills.com. You're amazing. Where can they find you else to chat you up and tell you how awesome you are?
Well, dear kind sir, I'm hanging out most on Twitter, at CDills, not at Kerry Dills. That's
I made that mistake about 10 times.
Tweet that. You'll get a special treat. I'll be seeing folks soon at WordCamp San Francisco, which I'm super excited about. Definitely at Pressnomics and possibly at WordCamp Vegas. I'm not sure how my schedule is going to pan out. But sure. And always online at kerrydills.com.
Well, it's been a treat. Damn it, I miss you. I can't wait to see you next week at WordCamp San Francisco. Bradford, where can we find you, big guy?
Yeah, I'll be at WordCamp Baltimore this weekend. I don't even have a room yet, so I might be sleeping in a car. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I will be there one way or the other. Then WordCamp San Francisco, along with all these, everybody we've had probably on the show in the last couple months, everyone's going to be there. It's going to be an amazing event. So definitely track down the Drad. There might even be a special Dradcast at the event, so keep your eyes out for that. But other than that, Twitter, WilliamsBA.
And I'm at Dre Maida. On the day the Kansas City Royals take the American League and earn a berth into the World Series, I'm rocking an Angels t-shirt and a hat. Go figure. I'm sitting here thinking about what could have been if the Anaheim Angels really had halos. It's likely they wouldn't be enjoying an extended vacation until next spring training. You know, sometimes it's not the team or the person with the most talent and the greatest stats that gains success at the highest level. Although it can help, it's not the biggest payroll and it's not the most popular persona that hits it big at all at any time. It comes down to focus and pure want. It comes down to hustle. It really takes a village, and often it takes a whole lot of luck. The ultimate components to success, however, are passion and heart. Commit to your team, plan a direction, and with all your might, execute to win. Chalk it up a win for the small market underdog. Congratulations, Kansas City. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 63 with Kerry Dills. We're out, baby. Booyah.
Booyah. There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drad.